Mitzvah, it's Rosh B'nei Yisrael of Kudehem, when you'll take a census, you'll count the Jewish people. V'nosnu ish kofer nafshu l'Hashem. How do we, how are they counted? So we know, of course, that there's this idea of a kofer, a kapara. How are they done that? That's what the Machzis HaShekel. V'kodosam, that's how you'll count them. Lo yibahem negeth v'kodosam. And if you'll count them this way, then there'll be no plague, nothing bad will happen. Ze yitnu kol ha'overal pekudim. Everyone who goes through the census, anyone who is counted, will give a machzis hashekel, a shekel kodesh, esrim gerah, shekel machzis hashekel, shuma l'Hashem. Opening mitzvah in Parshas Kisisa, well known, is the pasuk of parsha of machzis hashekel. The Mishnah in Maseches Shkolim, in Perek Aleph, Mishnayos Gimel, Dalad, talks about the following case. We know that the Shkolim is something that had to be brought every year. Let's say someone didn't pay up. It is, in essence, a pledge. Everyone's obligated. Let's say someone didn't pay up. Right? It's not new to yeshivas and day schools or shuls. Not everyone pays up on what they're supposed to pay up. So in those days, they had a power of persuasion. So the Mishnah speaks about forcible collateral. They would take things from people as a collateral to make sure that they would eventually pay up. So the Mishnayos discuss which categories, which people would we do this to? And the Mishnayos lists this one, and Levim, and Yisraelim, and Gerim, and other Mishuchrarim. But we wouldn't do it from certain other groups of people, including Nashim. They would not forcibly take a mashkon from women who didn't pay up a machzis hashekel. Why not? The Mishnah doesn't tell us. But the Bar Tanura gives the classic explanation that others then quote. Says simple, because women are obligated to bring a machzis hashekel. Why not? Because it's anywhere in the pasuk. Why not? So says the Bar Tanura, sort of. After all, the pasuk says v'nasnu ish kofer nafsho ish prat leisha. The women are not chayavos in the machzis hashekel. And therefore, of course, we're not going to forcibly make them do it. However, the Mishnah does say, just a little bit later on in the same parak, explicitly, but if a woman wanted to give a machzis hashekel, of course, it would be accepted. First of all, the 2 points. One is you could have a single woman. And second of all, the halacha is, and this is one of the makaros for it, the halacha is that even a married woman, so this is not our topic, and I don't want you to get me off into a topic which could get me in trouble, but even at this late night, all men's cheer, but there is such a thing called the internet, you may have heard of it. Yeah, that's what I meant. But there is a halacha, just suffice it to say, that if you have a married woman, halachically, for the most part, leave unspoken all necessary caveats. The simple halacha is that at least a major gift to tzedakah or purchase she should not do on her own. However, at least certain minor things, especially small gifts to tzedakah, she is allowed to do. And this is an example / raya of that, because a machzis shekel is obviously a small amount. So it could be a married woman, and it certainly could be referring to a single woman. Yeah. I think that they generally are willing to speak to anyone who speaks to them. But, yeah. Actually, I know of other cases, unfortunately, in our community and beyond, where Adarav, a woman answered the door. I'm not even talking about completely inappropriate things happening, which is why a woman should not open the door if her husband's not home. But I mean, even financially, someone trying to be more aggressive with a woman and making up stories about what was given in the past. It's a bad idea. In Labasi Lakan Elbishvil Zay, you should make sure that your wife should absolutely not open the door if you're not home, no matter how long the beard is, and no matter... It's not safe and it's not prudent, and you tell them to come back when you're home. Back to our topic. In light of this pasuk, this makor, that women are not chayavos in the machzis hashekel, Rabbi Akiva Eiger has one of his most famous and controversial tshuvas. And I want to use a large part of the shiur to discuss both the argument as well as the counter argument presented by Rabbi Akiva Eiger. There's a humongous literature that developed around this tshuva, and it's worth analyzing. The Eger says the following. He says, based on this pasuk, and he quotes this pasuk as the makor, he wants to assume that women are peturos from davening musaf. Let's give a little bit of a background. In Masechta Brachos, the Mishnah is explicit that women are chayavos to daven. The Gemara asks the question, how could it be? Siman Gromo, this. And the Gemara answers, Rachmei Ninhu. Tefillah, in its essence, is asking Hashem for Rachamim, and Nashi Nami Boy Rachmei. Women and men, it's human need for Hashem's Rachmanus, and therefore women are obligated to daven. Now, how do you understand this Gemara in light of Siman Gromo in general? Is a machlokas Rambam and Ramban, which is predicated on their very yesodistic machlokas about tefillah. Is there any notion of tefillah to arise or not? And that's one famous debate between Rambam and Ramban, and an ancillary debate, which they each mention explicitly, l'shitasam, each one is l'shitasam, and they write it explicitly, you don't need an achron to be medayik it, but based on that, they'll understand the mechanics of the women's obligation to tefillah. But they all end up at the same place. Women are chayavos to daven. That's a Gemara. No one could deny it. Comes along Rabbi Akiva Eiger and says, that's shachris. That's mincha. But musaf, noshim are peturos. Maishna, musaf from shachris and mincha. So he says, because tilas musaf comes from the carbon musaf. Carbon musaf is one of a quintessential carbon hatzibur. Who pays for, what pays for the karboni atzibur? The machasas ha-shekel. If the women are paturos, we see from the Shai, for contributing to it, the stamba, they're also pater from the carbon itself. And the melo, they're pater from tfilas musaf. Now, before we get into any measure of analysis, I just want to mention a side note, which is that Rabbi Kideger says this on his own. I'm not sure. But what the Rav Akiva Eiger says is that Shuv Matzasi are also Matzasi, that the same thing is written in the Sefer B'samim Rosh. So I saw that some people criticize this psak because of the source B'samim Rosh, but as far as I read the Rav Akiva Eiger, he said it on his own, and he believed it on his own. It also was said in this Sefer B'samim Rosh. But just as a side interesting note, B'Samim Rosh is one of the most controversial and written about Svarim that we have in the last 300 years. Because it was presented to the world by the son of the chief rabbi of Berlin in the late 1700s, if I'm not mistaken. But he claimed that he had found a manuscript, it wasn't his sefer, it's a manuscript, which I don't know if he ever showed anybody, and that it really is from the Rosh. So it wasn't an 18th century German work, it's a Rishon. Well, the Rosh did spend some time in Germany, but before he fled for his life. But the point is, it makes a big difference. Right? It could be a nice sefer. It could be a fine Talmud Chacham in Germany in the 1800s too, 18th century too. But I want to know if it's the Rosh or some other guy. Humongous scholarly machlokas. I take that back. In its day and beyond, there was a huge machlokas among Gedol Yisrael. Many, Harai, you see Rav Akiva Eiger quote it, certainly seeming that it's an authoritative work. Whereas others, heavyweights from his day into now, claimed it's all a forgery and it's a sheker. It's that, you know, people Dafka don't like it. Someone is claiming it's a rush. It's all a forgery. He wrote it at whatever he did. To this day, it's discussed by scholars. As far as I could tell, whatever the debate was among the Dolis at the time, from a scholarly perspective nowadays, it's like almost overwhelming that it was a forgery. I'm not an expert in these things, but it's just an interesting note. And getting back to that very same internet I mentioned, if you type in the words B'samim Rosh, I did today, just to remind myself. You know, this is well-known stuff, but I just wanted to refresh myself. And to Google, you'll get plenty of literature which you could read, which is really very fascinating.
Maybe it's B'samim Rosh.
Yeah. Okay. Simon Tess. So whether or not the B'samim Rosh is a legitimate safe or not, Rav Akiva Eiger said it. That's what will be important for us. Now, I want to mention the following. When you talk about Tfilas Musaf being connected to the Karbon Musaf, what does that bring into our mind? The general issue of the basis of Tfilas. We discussed this, I think it was at a Parshas Vayetze a few years ago on a Thursday night here, when we were in the modular building, Alav HaShalom. Zichrono Livracha. that there's a huge discussion about tefillah in general. What is the source of the mitzvah of tefillah? One man in the Gemara says, tefillah, can I get a karbonos tiktu? Tar Mitchell Shachar, Tar Mitchell Ben Arvayim. Right? The Gemara in Brachos, Tav Chafav. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvah Yud seems to say, they call it tefillos tiknum, can I get a karbonos? So many ask, how could you split Musaf from the other karbonos? Right? Shachris is from a tefillah, from a carbon sivur. Minchas is from a carbon sivur. How can you say women are chayavos in that, and not chayav in Musaf, if you want to say it's based on whether women are connected to carboni sivur, but they're all based on carboni sivur. So I saw that there are those who want to give the following answer. And the truth is that this yesod is actually found, as far as I can tell, the earliest place this yesod is found is in a tzlach. The tzlach is the chedushim of the note of Yehuda on Shas. But the tzlach gave it not to explain or defend Rabbi Akiva Eiger, but to answer up a question on his own shita. As we'll see, I hope I'm not being too obscure, the tzlach agrees with Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Psak, but lav mitameh, he gives a different reason. But he also asks the same question on himself. Bottom line, Tzlach agrees that women are potter from Musaf. But he also asks the question, why should Musaf be different from other tefillos? And Tzlach gives an answer, which could also be used to explain our question, which is, if you're going to use as the basis of the Heter, as Rukivi Eger does, this idea of carbon tzibur, so what about Shachar Saminchas? Also carbon tzibur. And the Yisod, which again, in its conceptual essence, comes from the Tzlach, is to say the following. Leave aside for a minute the whole issue of the avos. Maybe that's the debate in the Gemara. But let's assume for argument's sake that we know tefillos keneged karbonos tiknum. Yet we also have the Gemara, which I mentioned before, about nashim of rachamim. So, says the Tzlach, and then some others, there's a fundamental difference. Other tefillos, shachris, mincha, in their essence, the machayev is rachamim. Is the relationship, existential need to connect with Hashem. When do you daven? That technicality? When? Can I get a karbonos? The morning, because there's a carbon in the morning. But the essence of the tefillah, the mechayiv, is rachamim. As opposed to the carbon musaf, and therefore it's important to know, tefillah's musaf has nothing to do with rachamim. We're not asking Hashem. That's not why we daven musaf. That's why we daven shachris, which is very important. To come on time. The real rachamim comes from shachris. As a tzlach, musaf has nothing to do with rachamim. Nothing to do with ratzon Hashem. We didn't get to grama yet. That's the tzlach echzita is. That's the tzlach. But right now we're talking just about the karbonos.
Shabbos different than kol?
Well, musaf is by definition Shabbos and Yontif.
I think you're not supposed to be kol is when you're bakashas, right? I mean,
correct. Oh, I see what you meant. You meant by that. Correct. Well, we don't have bakashos. That's true. We take our nusach hatfila changes. We take out the middle. That's true. But still, the very essence of davening to Hashem is part of, again, it's a philosophical gemara, and I think even those of us who aren't philosophers, there's something in there. So it's part of the basic human condition to need to connect. To need... Okay, I hear it. It's a good point. So before we perhaps give Joey's perspective, I'll just show you, I want to give you a number of maybe Rishonim really, or Gemara's earlier sources that seem to prove the Tzlach's contention that there's a difference between Musaf and the other Tfilos. For example, perhaps the most important one that Tzlach and others bring is the following halacha. Let's say you forgot to daven Shachris totally innocuously. Preoccupied with the mitzvah. You were delivering a baby, something else happened, you couldn't. So what do? Come to shul for mincha, and you say tashlumin, not the nova, you say tashlumin. Right? You daven the two minchas, the second one is the tashlumin. Assuming you weren't egregious in a posheya, you're allowed to do tashlumin. Right? That's a tremendous chiddush. So Gemara says tashlumin. Let's say you didn't do musaf. Let's say the baby started kicking at musaf. Is there a tashlumin for Musaf or not? Is there a tashlumin for Musaf or not? So Tosfos Masechet Brachot on Daf Vav says there's no tashlumin for Musaf. Why? So Rabbeinu Yonah really fleshes us out also. Rabbeinu Yonah and Tosfos on Daf Chavav and Brachos. Because of such as it's Yisod. Why do we have Tashlumin, Mehecha Tesi? I didn't Shekulov. I get the Shekulov the second day of Sukkot twice? Don't work that way. Why is there Tashlumin Dafka by Tefillah? Say these Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah and Tosfos. Because we need Tefillah. Tefillah is Rachavim. And therefore we'll give you, you know, somebody who, you know, Lahavdil, you know, when a kid misses the final exam and the teacher knows that without this that the kid is sunk, so the teacher's half a heart, they maybe have a little more rachmanis than they would have otherwise. Tefillah is such a din in rachmanis, Hashem gives us a second chance. But it says Tosar Ben Yonah, but Musaf is not. Musaf is just connected to carbon. So it's a mitzvah, it's an important mitzvah, but that's all it is. Therefore, if you missed it, there's no tashlumim. Tashlumim is only because of rachmanis. No? Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. So we'll see. So that's against what we're saying. And as I mentioned even to Joey, I'm only giving you the argument pro Rabbi Kivi Agur at this point.
The carbon that generates
100%. As opposed to, again, that's the point I want to be clear again, thank you. As opposed to the Shacharis and Mincha, where it's Rachamim that generates it, and carbon just tells you the schedule. When?
That was supposed to refer to the point you just quoted. And then before, so when we were first, but based on that, those.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, so we're on the same page. Okay. I didn't think I missed the tosis, but thank you.
Just for
about women or about
women?
Tashlumen? Oh, based on this. Fascinating. But just, again, now we're totally digressing, but how can you not? But that is a classic Rav Shechter-ism, and I say that with all due respect, and that is that when he either has his own chiddush, or there's an achronish chiddush in a rishon, once he's absorbed it and his kemis is true, he'll ask it, or assume, present it, as if it's said there. Right? Very often he'll quote something, you look and it didn't say there. No, but that's the way he understands the tosis. Right? That's classic.
They didn't ask me.
So even if you didn't know it, you were humiliated. That's the difference. He had Rachmanis on you. Rachma in one on Shraga. Okay.
I was ready for that one.
Okay. No more jokes. Another Raya. I want to get a little bit more in. We're having too much fun. We're not learning enough. Another Raya. The Rogachover is quoted by the Ponovitcher. The Rogachover of Yosef Rogan is quoted in the Sefer Zecher Yitzchak. Zecher Yitzchak is written by the Grier, Gaon of Yaakov Yitzchak Rabinowitz. It's Yaakov Yitzchak Rabinowitz, who was the original Ponovitcher Rav, before Rav Kahneman became known as the Ponovitcher Rav. The super duper genius, the Zecher Yitzchak, is a brilliant Sefer, a great Sefer. So he, in Simon Beis, quotes another genius, like those are geniuses, the Rogachover, who had the following Chiddush. The Rogachover said the following. Even though, and this was also a shiur we gave on a Thursday night in the modular building a year or two ago, even though the Shulchan Aruch says that a posheya, an avarian, a sinner, can count for a minyan, to borrow the term we used then, there isn't a religious litmus test to count for a minyan. Posheya can count for a minyan, so then the Shulchan Aruch, simen nun hei. However, even though that quote-unquote liberal psak is the general psak of the Shulchan Aruch, there are many achronim who limit that heter. And a classic heter, a classic limitation, which many achronim say, is if you have a mumer, a real tabrenta lahachasnik, so to speak, or someone who's not just missing one avera, but he's a mumer l'kol tarkul, he doesn't mind, she's totally unobservant and assimilated, so they can't count. I don't want to revisit that whole topic, but the Rogachover assumes that whatever you'll say in general, he says a mumer, even if you'll be makel, that a mumer could count for shachris, a mumer can't count for the minyan for Musaf. So if you're in one of these places, one of these scenarios where you've only got 10 people for a Shabbos minyan on vacation in the bungalow, so you're good for Shachris, but Musaf, you're on your own, says according to the Rogachover. It doesn't count for a minyan. Why? Because there's a halacha that a mumer cannot bring a carbon. Again, how do you split the mumer can't bring a carbon? He couldn't. So what about the Shachris? It's also from the Karbanos? Again, says the Rogachover, because Shachris and Mincha are in their essence not from the carbon, but from Rachamim. But Musaf is uniquely, exclusively from the carbon, and therefore if a Mumer couldn't bring a carbon, a Mumer also can't count for Musaf. Give you one other Raya for this, and then we'll see the counter-argument. Another Raya for this You know, we'll stop. So bottom line is, this is the school of thought which may explain, this is one explanation for the Pesach of Rabbi Yeager, it seems to be really what he's getting at, that there's a fundamental difference between Musaf and other Tfilos. Musaf is somehow more uniquely connected to the Karbon than other Tfilos, and since women are Pater from giving the Matzah Shekel, therefore they're going to be Pater from Musaf. That would be the explanation as we've developed it from Rabbi Yeager. Oh, good. So I know where you're going, I'm pretty sure. Hold on for a second, okay? So before we get to, I think, where Joel wants to go, I'll let you know what I was thinking, and if I'm wrong, I'll stop then, okay? Before we get to that, you could argue on Rabbi Kivager in perhaps a number of ways. So first and foremost, let's just discuss this point, which we said until now, which is this idea of rachamim versus karbon. And the idea that there's no such thing as rachamim in musaf, and in the other sense, conversely, that shachris is really not a machayev from the karbon, but just a detail with the karbon. A number of makaros seem to reject that. And we've shown them in others. For example, the Rif in Masechta Brachos says if you daven shachris twice, halavai, halavai should be a problem for some of us, right? Some people don't daven, they don't climb, go well. So we daven shachris twice. Says the Rif, you're over on Baal Tosef. Nope. Demerit. I tried. You don't think I looked into this? I figured before the big game, I'll be up late, so I'll want to dive in two chakras the day before. No, not for this. So says the Rif, if you'll dive in two chakras, presumably Mincha too, but you tell me chakras, you're over on Baal Tosef. Why? He says because as if you brought two Tmidin. Two Tmidin Shal Shachar. Which would be... You're not bringing a Dover. You're davening two chakras. If you daven a Dover, that wouldn't be this case. You're davening two chakras. So you see from this, leave aside the other details, that he holds, obviously, that you can compare chakras to a carbon, right? Not just what he's talking about chakras. Furthermore, you mentioned an Dover. The Rambam holds that an Dover is something only a Yochai could do. A Tzibur cannot do an adava. What is the answer? Connected to the carbon. Furthermore, here's another interesting idea which is directly related. I mentioned Tashlumen before. So we mentioned that it's a raya, right? Shragas Tosis, which I'll now never forget. The Or Sameach argues. He didn't ask you about that. Then you really would have gotten into the kolal. If you told him something. The Or Sameach argues. The Or Sameach says that Eina Chenami, according to the Shita in the Gemara, the Tfilos Keneged Karbanos, there's no such thing as Tashlumen. In other words, it's the Yisod of Tosfos, but taken to an extreme which rejects the whole premise. Namely, yes, you're right, to the extent that a Tfilos is connected to the Karban, so why do you have Tashlumen? It's a mitzvah. Tashlumen is only because of this Rachman thing. So, Rabbeinu Yonah and Tosfos were distinguishing between Musaf and other Tfilos. But says Or Sameach, no, if you can accept the premise, go all the way. Okay. The whole premise of Tashlumen, in essence, is based on the Man D'Amar, Tfilos Keneged Avos Tiknum. Because if we held Keneged Karbanos, there'd be no Tashlumen. Again, let's not get caught up in the details of Or Sameach. But Nachamal, what do you see from him? No distinction between Musaf and the other Tfilos. It's all or nothing. And if Karbanos, if you hold of the idea of Karbanos, Musaf is no more, but no less, but no more than the other Tfilos. And finally, just to mention, one more thing as well, and this I think will move into what I thought Joel was speaking about. If not, you should have been. Namely, the premise of Akiva Eger, so first of all, he may have been having this Yisod in Musaf, which is now we've seen debatable. But second, let's say he's right about the Musaf in general. What does that have to do for the Yechayev to bring the Machzis HaShekel or not? Is that what you had in mind? I thought so. We've been around for a few years together. So many of the, really, I mean this sarcastically, not just Joel. Many of the most brilliant and famous Sifra Achronim ask this question. This is the question that they're bothered by. A number of great Achronim say. For example, there's a Sefer known as the Amudei Or, Miskavadol. Others, the Zecher Yitzchak, we'll get to in a second, the Ponovich Rav himself, Rav Yitzchak Chanan in the Be'er Yitzchak. Others all ask, and let me spell out the question. They reject Rabbi Akiva Eiger's essential, really basic premise. Because even if women didn't contribute to Shekel, does that mean that they're not Shaykh to Karbonei Tzibur? In other words, really, again, the way I said it, and this is what Rabbi Akiva Eiger says it, I wasn't misquoting him, there's only two steps in his, two steps meaning one leap. Just a hop, not a hop and a skip. To his premise, right? Women are putter from the Masa Shekel, okay, that's not controversial. But then he makes that two mistumpy. One jump is that they're not shayach to karbonei tzibur, to the effect of them. And memela, tzvilus keneged karbonos, so not chayiv in musaf. So I'll say that's a hop and a skip. But he doesn't get to the jump. But the truth is, if you think about it, Joel's correct. If you unpackage the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, there's really a hop, a skip, and a jump. If he's correct. Because then you assume not only, it's not just that they're not chayiv in the karbanos, it's that you think that they're bechlal not shayich, not just the chayiv in the maksa shekel to support the karbanos, that they're not shayich to the karbon at all, or as some of the Quran say, that they're not involved in the kapara of the karbanos. But who said that? That's not, you don't get that from the Mishnah Ishkolim, you don't get from the pasuk of Ish Kofer, you just get that they're not chayiv to bring the money. But just because they don't have to bring the money, you know, sometimes, you'll forgive me, there could be a free ride. Just because they don't have to pay for it, doesn't mean that they're not shaykh to the benefit. And it's really that point, which, if it would be true, might lead to his conclusion about tefilas musaf. The fact that they're not chayiv to pay for the karbanos, why is that connected? Oh! Good for you! You're also on the ball tonight. Excellent! That's another riot that some bring. I'll get to it in a second. I'll get to it now. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, in his Tshuvas, Be'er Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan has two volumes of Tshuvas, one are known as the Be'er Yitzchak. See, he also, again, rejects the central premise of Akiva Eiger, and he brings rayas. One of his rayas is from this idea that, according to some, right, anybody under 20 wouldn't bring. Would you assume, Hayitachin, that somebody under 20 is not chayiv in tefilas musaf? Of course not. I was going to hold on. Since you mentioned it, I said it now. But there's another raya akin to that, which they bring, which I want to save for a moment. But even before that, furthermore, I mentioned the Ragachover about your mummer when you're on vacation. You only got 10 people. So the Zeicher Yitzchak, the Ponovich Rav, quotes this. But he doesn't agree with it. He disagrees. He's Mekel Lamaisa on the Shaila. And it's because he disagrees in Lamdus. Why? Because he says this whole idea, which again was coming, the Ragachover he was coming to defend Rabbi Akiva Eiger with, because I don't hold of the whole thing, the whole Rabbi Akiva Eiger is wrong. After all, he says, just because a mumer isn't supposed to be involved, but, for example, the Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Dalid says that there's no such thing as Shinui Bailim when it comes to a Karbon Tzibur. When the Kohen is bringing the Karbon, ordinarily, we know that if the Kohen would think of a different owner, it messes up the carbon. What if he's bringing a carbon seaborne and he thinks of, who knows, somebody else? So there's no such disqualification. And Rashi Tosos explained, because it's a carbon seaborne. How can I be thinking of someone who's not involved? It's for the seaborne, it's for everybody. Right? Seems very simple. Says the Zeicher Yitzchak, what do you mean? We just said a mumer, didn't the Gemara say? A mumer can't bring a carbon? So says I, but Rashi and Tosafot said everyone's included. It must mean even the mumer's included. So what do you see from that? That it breaks the central thesis. It gets right in between our hop and our skip. Yes, it's true that someone might not be obligated to give money or be not even allowed to bring a carbon in the extreme case. But when it comes to a carbon seabor, do they get the benefit from it? Do they get the carbon? Do they get the kapara from it? That has nothing to do with anything. All Jews are included in the carbon seabor, unless their mamash is no longer in the seabor. There could be a few exceptions, there could be a few extreme cases like that. But a stama mumer, someone who's a mumer for the, you know, Ochel Nevelis, so they're part of the tzibur. So they get the kapara. So it says, it's like you see a raya, that the whole central premise, as Rizal Chanan had said, with the raya from the under 20, as Joel was anticipating about women, seems to be lacking. Another one, which is first brought as a kind of a raya, but again, is also very debatable, is discussed about Kohanim. Because I mentioned at the outset of the shir that the Mishnayos talk about who are we going to be forcibly with the Mashkon, you know, somebody didn't pay up for their machzor shekel. And one of the people, it could be there's a debate, but I think my impression of the Mishnayos is that Kohanim are not obligated. They're not obligated to bring a machzor shekel, and therefore that we wouldn't forcibly take a mashkon from them if they didn't pay, because they're not obligated. So first of all, there are those who hold that, who understand the Mishnayos to be not so clear, but still, the Ginnis HaRadim and others still pask in that way, that Kohanim are not chayiv. And some ask, I saw this among other places, there's a sefer called the Berkas Kohen on this type of a shira. It only gives one or at most two pieces per parsha, but it's halachic pieces, short pieces on the parsha. The Rav is a Rav Deutsch, who is one of the Rosh Shivas, one of the Rebbeim in Kol Torah. And if I'm not mistaken, you know, there's a, the Lomaj Rosh Shiva who comes every summer. He came to visit me the first two summers ago, I think it was, in my study at home and my office, and he saw that I had some of his Sfarim, the Berkas Kohen of Deutsch, and we were schmoozing about him. Anyway, what I believe he told me was that his father was one of the Balabatim in the office or the library, a Balabatisha position in Ponovich. And what he said, not me, what he said was, he grew up in Kiryas Yeshiva of Ponovich. He wasn't the son of the big Rosh Yeshivas. He was the son of the librarian, I think, or the office manager, something like that. But he, because he worked hard. He was that classic example of the person who wasn't born rich, so to speak. And he had a tremendous kesher with Rav Shach. And he built himself up to be a huge Talmid Chacham, even from his relatively more humble beginnings, than even some of the people who grew up the same age as him, who were from the children of the well, more people that you and I all know in that neighborhood. Be that as it may, he's a very, very right, very nice story. And he has a sefer on Erechin, on Chulin, but the one that's more popular is this one on Parsha. So he has a small essay on our Parsha, and he asks the question from Kohanim as well. He says, again, akin to what was said, if you assume that Kohanim are pater from Machzor Shekel, would it be Kiv Eger hold that Kohanim don't have to daven Musaf? I mean, it's as clear as the same thing. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. The Das Torah, the Marsham. Again, a lot of people reject this Rukhbegar in light of this. So I just want to mention, before I get to the Mitzvah Shizman Grama part of the Shearing to conclude, there is an answer, at least for Kohanim, that would be interesting that could be used to defend Rukhbegar. By which I mean to say, again, not that that wouldn't solve all Rukhbegar's problems, because a lot of other questions we've asked, but at least the Raya from Kohanim, you could perhaps distinguish, and we'll stay in Bnei Brak, and quote the Stipler. The Stipler in Chedushim to Maseches Zvachim, Simin Dalid, discusses the question of Kohanim. Rav Eger's whole point is that women don't have to give the Machzor Shekel. Oh, so they must be Pater from Musaf. What about Kohanim? So the Stipler wants to say the following Chiddush. What did they use the money for the from the Machzor Shekel for? The answer is really two things. One is Karbanei Tzibur, but the other is what we call in English operating expenses. Right? General upkeep of the building. As we would say, to make sure the lights go on and the heat works. They had to make sure that the base of Mikdash could run. Says the Stipler, since the Machzor HaShekel went for both important, but both two different things, so that's why Kohanim were Potter. Kohanim are Potter from the upkeep of the base of Mikdash. But are they Lu Yitzuyer, that there was a donation that was only for making sure that we could bring Karbanos? Or theoretically, if there was a shortage of funds, right? The building campaign didn't work out. The carbon campaign didn't work out. And the one day they found, oh my gosh, we got no animals. Would the Kohanim be, perhaps exclusively, but it's not exclusively, at least also obligated to make sure there would be a carbon? Says the Stipler, of course! Of course they're connected. And therefore, on the one hand, they're part of Machzor Shekel because it's this broader operating expense as well. But on the other hand, there would be Chayiv Avada. Of course, they're Chayiv in davening Musaf because it's not that they're not Shaykh for Karbonei Tzibur. On the contrary, they're responsible for Karbonei Tzibur. Just because of the other benefits or uses, I should say, of the money, they're Potter. However, when it comes to women, he says, no, they're fundamentally... This drush of the Gemara is, of the Chumash is, this drush in our Parsha, is that they're fundamentally not obligated in ensuring the Karbanei Tzibur are brought. So they're totally mufke, as we would say. from this idea. So even if you'll hold, and I don't think this type of says this part explicitly, but I would suggest to make it even a stronger defense of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, even if you'll grant that women are included in what I call the kapara benefits, the shayich, to the benefits on the back end of the Karban Yitzibur, but their bechalal, says the Stipler, mufka from ensuring that the Karban Yitzibur can be brought. And therefore, again, I'm not saying you have to hold of it, but at least it's potentially defensible to then take the final leap of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And you won't be vulnerable to the argument of, I, what about the Kohanim? Because, as according to at least the Stipler's thesis, they are more connected, because they are obligated in ensuring the Karban Yitzibur, but for this side reason, they were putter from bringing the Machzis HaShekel. Okay? Now we just have a few more minutes. I want to mention a whole other dimension to the shir, which was anticipated, but we didn't focus on. The tzlach, and I saw, I'll tell you in fact where I saw it from, in the footnotes to the Arch Shkol Mishnais. For those of you who don't know, before Arch Shkol got into the Gemara business, they started the Mishnais business. Their Mishnais are fantastic. They're probably the most scholarly Mishnais in any language. And then the Gemara project was so big that they kind of stopped the Mishnais, and now that they finished the Gemaras, even though they're doing other things, but they've gotten back. I've noticed that some of the Mishnais are coming out again. Right, they're done. They're fantastic. Okay, okay. The ones that I've had, I've always been impressed with them, and they're also now making them in like small pocket size. So the four Sadarim that are pocket size, I have. So I took a look before this year at the Mishnais in Shkolim, and I saw there they have a footnote of a Meiri. But as it's not surprising that the earlier Achronish sources don't quote the Meiri, because as we know, the Meiri was lost to the Masorah for many, many years. So if you look in the Svarim, they quote what I'm about to tell you from a Tzlach, and the Tzlach says it. But kudos to the Art Scroll, they dug up that the Meiri said it well before the Tzlach. That is to say, yes, women are potter from the Machzis HaShekel. Women are potter from davening Musaf. But not because of the Kivyegor's lumdus with the Machzis HaShekel, got nothing to do with our Parsha, says a Tzlach, because the Mislash is Mangrama. Period. That's what he says. That's why the Patan, apparently the Meiri, again, I didn't see it inside, but apparently the Meiri says that as well. The Tzlach asks on himself, what about Shachar Samincha? It's also the Mislash is Mangrama. So that's what the Tzlach gave the answer, which I alluded to before, that there's a fundamental difference between Musaf and the other things. Because on that point, this is the Tzlach's Chiddush. Again, that's the Chiddush that was debatable, but the Tzlach had that Chiddush to answer his question on himself, but we also use it to explain Rabbi Gevager, because there's a fundamental difference in terms of the Rachamim element, which is present in the other Tfilos, but he said not present. That was Joey's question before, but we're not going to address that now. Let me just finish up. The Maram Shik also agrees that the Tzlach says that women are putter from because of Mislash Zman Grama. Others disagree, but again, disagree completely because they hold women are Chayavos. And one of them is, for example, the Shoal Umeshiv. The Shoal Umeshiv was one of the most prolific Sifrei Psak and Sifrei Chuvas we've ever had. He also wrote a Sefer on Halacha straight, not Shaz and Chuvas, called Magin Giborim, where he explicitly argues on the Tzlach, and he rejects that women are, this assumption, he assumes that women are obligated. Furthermore, he gets into the scholarship thing, the Shor Lameshiv, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger also wants to quote the Psalm Rosh. He says, in a rabbinic term, he says, Lo nosnu harosh, meaning the rush, kushpanka alzeh. Meaning, this ain't the rush, this is the forgery. So you can't quote the Besamim Rosh, and you want to quote the Tzlach. He doesn't make any sense. It's nothing. I mentioned to you the Ber Yitzchak before Yitzchak Hanan. Similar is named, but different and different author. Not the Ber Yitzchak, but the Beis Yitzchak, that's Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis, another important Sefer Tshuvas, also rejects the Tzlach, agrees with the Shaul Lameshiv, and they assume that it's not Mislash Zman Grama and any more than any other tefillah would be, but Rachamim covers all tefillos, including Musaf, and therefore Nashim are Chayavos. So the bottom line is you have this huge machlokes. There is a well-known Mishnah Brura that discusses women and davening and stuff, and he actually discusses Mincha, what about Maariv, oh, it's a big... At the bottom, I had never noted, I mean, I'd seen it, of course, but I didn't register until tonight when I was reviewing, that has a one-liner at the end of that Mishnah Brura. Mamish is a one-liner. This is in Simon Kuf Vav, Mishnah Brura, Sifkat and Dalid. It has a one-liner, says, and what about Musaf? It's a machlokes. He doesn't pask in the Mishnah. It's not pasking. He says it's a machlokes tzlach and magen giborim, which is the Sholem Eishev. We have now seen that there's a lot more literature than that's that one line in the Mishnah Berurah. But that's how the Mishnah Berurah ultimately summarizes it. It's a machlokes. Although it is interesting, I don't know if this is worth medayiking or not, but it's, even though, even according to the one that would say they're putter, he doesn't quote Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He quotes Mishnah Berurah Grama, in essence, the tzlach. Be that as it may, there is that machlokes, and I believe to this very day, even though it certainly would encourage women to daven musaf, our poskim who push come to shove would be certainly more makil. If they can only daven one tefillah, we would certainly then prefer them to daven shacharis, because certainly you'd have to be somechon if they didn't daven musaf. I remember having a rebbe once, you know, decry the fact that women traditionally only come to shul at time for musaf, when it could be that that's davka the tefillah that they're pater from. But oh, very good. Well, leave us at the longer thing. You just got to what the last point I wanted to make to end this year. Thank you. Not because it's long, but... yeah, no, good, good. So, there's a discussion. Rav Avadi Yosef has a lengthy summary of it, and Rav Sternbach has a piece on this. Manim Azmanim. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Even if you'll say that Nashim are Paturos every Shabbos or Yom Tif, what about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? And Rav Avadi Yosef assumes that Lekulei Alma, even Rav Kiveger, etc., would agree that certainly Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Musaf is about Rachamim, and therefore women would be obligated. There are those who are even not so sure about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and again, would a person really not be able to come to shul? So you could find a heter for them. But certainly there'd be a very strong reason above the obvious, but even the obvious fundamental reasons, but even at a very technical level, there are good reasons one could say the Dafka, Moshanim Kippur, they should be davening. But perhaps, again, as I said, according to many posts, give them every Shabbos.
But why did they have to go to shul?
They didn't say they have to. They have to go to shul to hear my trasha. Avada. Yeah, Avada. 100%. 100%. Right? So again, that's the whole point. Do you see that as connected to whether they're chayiv or not? That's the part of the debate we saw before. Okay, good night and a good Shabbos.